that when he's starting to be and like I said before, how we love God reflects on who we are and what we do. And this world we're in has a lot of things going on that draws away from God. We get so involved with living life that we forget what God has done for us and how much he loves us. So this morning as we take communion, I think it'd be good for us to look at our lives, look at how we where we place God in the whole scheme of things. And like my little wrist that Abby gave me, it says, Jesus loves you, love him back. Let's pray, Lord. Heavenly Father, you are such a great God. You have given us so much more than what we deserve. You have given us life, eternal life, if we accept you. And Lord, you paid the debts, our debt upon the cross. A debt that there's no way that we could possibly pay.
get our every birthday and month ready for the end of life. I cannot think of a greater time for grandchildren. I cannot think of a greater time for grandchildren. As I had a chance to have story time with the kids in the UDS this week, it just became more apparent. I don't know if it's more concerned time. How much for our children, the families of our children. This one here,
Lord, as I look at the last prayer on this prayer guide for children, it's Isaiah 55:11. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I've sent it." So God, we spoke your word over children this week. And we ask God that your word works in their heart, in the heart of those they have at home, that the children, Lord, that heard your word this week will have a seed planted in such a way, Lord, that it can grow up into a love for you, a deep love for you, Lord, that Huey read about in Matthew 22, that they'll love you with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. Blessings to your name, Jesus. So grateful for you and your word. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Romans 10 today. Grab your Bibles. Romans 10 is where we're going to be together. Ooh. Alex, I messed up your music. Sorry. I'm going to hand that to you so that way when you come back up, you'll be in order. Is your room in order? Romans 10 is where we're going to be today. Romans 10. I was thoughtful this week about children and VBS, and I'm sure this is true for this group of people. What is your experience as a parent, a grandparent, or a family member of a child in which you desired for them to have certain thoughts,
and actions and behaviors that were right and good. You wanted that for them, correct? You had these desires. You want those kids that you engage to have thoughts and actions and behaviors that are right and good, okay? And sometimes, as parents, you probably know this is true, it's no easy task. We have multiple desires for the children alive and how they're to be raised and what through their experience and how we want, again, them to have those behaviors that are right and good. But often as parents, what we experience with our children is very different than what we desire for our children. As parents, what we experience with our children is very different than what we desire for our children. I looked on the web this week and saw some funny quotes about parenting, and I thought I'd give you some parents expressing some subtle and not so subtle desires for their children. You know, some of them are anonymous, some of them are not. Here's one of them. It says, 88% of parenting is saying, it's bedtime, it's bedtime, it's bedtime, 150 times between 8 and 9 p.m. every night. Parenting is mostly informing kids how many more minutes they have of something. Driving around at 3 a.m. with soft music on the radio isn't normal, but as a parent, it is. Having children, this is Ray Romano. Ray Romano said this, having children is like living in a frat house. Nobody sleeps, everything's broken, and there's a lot of throwing up. This mom wrote in, says, five-year-olds say the cutest things, I love you, and hey, mom, when you just took your pants off, everything was all jiggly and wiggly. But I'm bummed. Betsy Farrell said this, 90% of parenting is just thinking about when you can lay down again. Truth. Jerry Seinfeld said this, a two-year-old is kind of like having a blender, but you don't have a top to it. Phyllis Diller, you know Phyllis Diller, I know this crowd knows Phyllis Diller. She said this, cleaning your house while your kids are still growing up is like shoveling the sidewalk before it stops snowing. This dad wrote in and said this, before having a kid, the most important thing to ask yourself is this, am I ready to watch the exact same cartoon on repeat for the next 4 years? Dana Snow, and finally Dana Snow, it's a great quote. Dana Snow said that once she asked her mom this question, she says, Mom, I asked my mom if I was adopted. She said, no, not yet, but we placed an ad. And so if you're a parent in this room, you've probably had some of those subtle comments in your mind, probably, right? And I would encourage you to repent quickly. However, we do have heart's desires for our kids because that's what parents, grandparents, and aunts and uncles, whatever, whoever may be, we have a child in your life. You have a desire for that child and even for yourself, okay? And I was reminded when I looked through some other topics on online that came up this week. It was a topic that came out of a writer from Forbes, and she wrote this in 2016, and she surveyed 771 people, and this was a survey she asked as far as just one question. If you could say in one word what you would want more of in life, what would that be? In other words, what's your top desire in your life? And the top eight things stood out, and here they were. Eight, and they're in order. Number one, happiness. Two, money. Three, freedom. Four, peace. Five, joy. Six, balance. Seven, fulfillment. And eight, confidence. There's no surprise when it comes to those eight answers, those eight responses, because how many of those do we want? Well, we probably want a fair amount of them, okay? And so desires are a lot like thoughts. And as people, we typically express or have actions associated with our thoughts. So if you got your Bibles, go to Romans 10:1, and we're going to see some desires in action right here. And I'm excited about this message today because God is really kind to share with us through Paul something that Paul has desires for. Paul says this, brothers and sisters, my heart's what? Desire and what? Prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. And so I really enjoy the scriptures. The scriptures are very relevant to our lives today. Here's why. Because as I look at the Apostle Paul, he's being very vulnerable. We saw in Romans 9, and two Sundays ago, Romans 9, Paul said that his heart was full of deep sorrow and unceasing grief. And then today, he's literally bearing his heart once again that his heart's desire is that people would be saved. He's literally doing that. Now, do you think Paul and his desires for the Roman church would have been the top eight desires that those people answered in 2016? Let me repeat them again. Would Paul want these desires for the Roman church? Happiness, money, freedom, peace, joy, balance, fulfillment, confidence. Would Paul pray that for the church? Well, I don't think you'd be opposed to those. Those aren't bad things. But having those things aren't necessarily in line, completely in line with the desires of God. So if we'd ask the question, what is God's desire? What is God's desire? Well, look on the screen. You're going to see the scripture here, okay? Let's read this together. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's in 2 Peter 3:9. So if we look at that verse right there, what is God's desire? Can you sum it up? For all people to what? Come to repentance. That's God's desire, for all people to come to repentance. Paul's desires, look at Paul's desires stated in that verse 1. His heart's desire is lined up with God's heart desire for people to be saved. And so what is your desire today, church? Think about this. If tomorrow morning someone got up with you whenever you get up and they observed you throughout your day, and as they observed you throughout your day and your actions, your behaviors, your speech, whatever comes out of your mouth, what would they determine at the end of the day is your chief desire? What would they determine? Would it be the top 8 things that people answered in 2016? Or would it be, since God is your parent, God is your heavenly dad, God is your father, it would only make sense that his children would have what kind of desire? We would desire that all people what? Come to repentance. That's what we would desire. And so would your actions and behaviors in any given day that someone would observe you, would they come to the conclusion that your chief desire in the day is to be just like your dad? That people would come to what again? Repentance. Would they see that in you? And so Paul is a Christian. He's a follower of Christ. And it gives us an idea that Paul has a framework for prayer based on God's desire for people to come to repentance. Paul's given us his framework, and it's exciting to do this because this gives us an opportunity to express God's desires back to him. And so what is your prayer life like to God? Think about that for a moment. What do you pray about? I mean, you don't have to say it out loud, but there's some things you pray about more often than others. And where are you in expressing God's desires back to him in prayer? What does God think about us expressing his desires back to him through prayer? What does God think about that? And so if I look at the Apostle Paul, which I'm grateful we have the Apostle Paul and shares with us, he starts to do something that we should take note. Paul's desire is that people to be saved, and then how do we express through prayer God's desire for people to be saved? How does that work? How do I do that? How can we develop godly desires to reflect our dad's desires to see how many people come to repentance? All people come to repentance. How do we do that? So I'm going to give you a list. So here's a list that the Christian must be praying to God for people to find Jesus. Okay? By the way, how many people need to find Jesus? Everybody does. Okay? If you're in this room, it's likely you've heard something about Jesus somewhere in your life. So point number one today is this. I must desire and pray people will submit to God's righteousness. I must desire and pray that people will submit to God's righteousness. Look, one of the first things you must desire is for people to submit to God. That's what you must desire. You must desire for people to submit to God. As a Christian, we must do something with our desires for people and their relationship to God. Prayer. Prayer is that perfect way to express God's desires back to him. Look, I will guarantee you. This is impromptu thinking here. Let's just ask the moms in the room. Moms, if you told your 2-year-old to 22-year-old to do something and they repeated back to you, "Oh, mom, you want me to do X, Y, Z?" How would you feel, mom? Shocked. Okay, thank you. It goes without saying that when I was a kid growing up and Dad told me to go to the shed and pick out a tool, I rarely found it. But if I would have said, "Oh, Dad, you said that the hammer is next to the drill on the bench on the east wall. Is that what you said, Dad?" He would have fell over. Repeat back to God what his desires are. He likes that. He enjoys that. You repeating back to him what his desires are. So look in Romans 10, verse 2. Look what the Bible says there. "For I can testify about them that they were zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge." There are people who are actually zealous for God, but they don't have the right kind of knowledge. So when you pray, okay, we must desire and then pray that people have the proper knowledge of God. There are so many people running around, and I saw it this week in Little People. There's so many people that do not have the proper knowledge of God. You've got to pray for that. that people get the proper knowledge of God. Romans 10, verse 3. Romans 10, verse 3. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Folks, this week I asked a little person, how do you get to heaven to be with God? And here's what the response was. I do more good deeds than bad. Literally, that's what they said. I do more good than bad. How many adults do you think that? Too many. One's too many. Look, we must desire then pray that people will acknowledge they can't be right with God on their own. It's not possible. It's like trying to push a rope uphill. It's not going to happen. Okay? It's like cleaning out the hog waters back home when I was a kid. You had to do it every night because it wasn't going to get done. It won't happen. It won't happen. It's a never-ending cycle. It's not going to happen. Okay? And so many of us believe that my good deeds are out there. Nope, that's not how it works. You've got to have a righteousness based on God alone. Romans 10, verse 4, look what it says. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who what? Who believes. Look, folks, we must desire, then pray, that people submit to God, and a part of submitting to God is acknowledging they're not right with God. They've got to acknowledge, I'm not right with God. And as people recognize they're not right with God, we must pray they desire to be right with God by submitting to God. Now think about this. As people submit to God, we must pray they recognize that the only way to be right with God is through who? Through Jesus Christ. It says in that verse right there, Jesus is the culmination of the law. That's the only way you can be right with God is through Jesus Christ. I look at it again. So how do people come to acknowledge, think about this, how do people come to acknowledge they need to submit to God's righteousness through Jesus? Well, we're praying about it. We're praying about it. That's what we're doing. The apostles are praying about it. So we're going to pray about it. Okay? Remember, prayer is that wonderful thing. Prayer is a perfect way to express God's desires back to Him. So here's how we're going to pray this. Okay? So you can take this home and you can actually start praying this sheet of paper. First, we're going to ask God. We're going to ask God to give you a heart's desire to like His heart. Folks, your heart needs to be like your dad's. And our Heavenly Father is one of the best dads you'll ever have. And ever will, as far as eternity. Ask God to give you desire to pray for people to submit to God's righteousness, which is Jesus. Folks, we've got to start praying that people recognize they're not right with God and they've got to have who? They've got to have Jesus. We've got to pray that. And the third thing is this, ask God to reveal a person to be prayerful over. Matter of fact, you may have someone in your mind right now. If you've got a pen, write in that paper. If you have someone in your heart right now, write down that paper before you forget it. Number two point today is this. I must desire and pray people will see the nearness of God's word. I must desire and pray that people will see the nearness of God's word. I have received numerous questions over the years since I became a preacher about who God is, what He's like, and what He plans to do. And the problem I see in most people is this. They get hung up on trying to understand God instead of simply trying to follow God. They want to understand Him before they follow Him. And I said this before. If you can understand God, your God's too small. And so we get hung up on trying to understand God instead of simply just trying to follow God. And we talked about this two sermons ago. Matter of fact, last week and the week before in Romans 9. If you don't understand God, go back to the sermon on YouTube, Facebook, wherever you want to find our website, and you can figure out what you're supposed to do and you'll understand God. But we're not talking about that in this one. We're talking about following God and the nearness of God's word. And Deuteronomy 30 is a fascinating passage. Anybody remember what's going on in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy, the Israelites are getting ready to go into the promised land, and Moses is laying down the law for these people. And it's kind of lengthy up on the screen here, but when we get to the underlying part, I want you to read it. When we get to the underlying part, you read it. Okay, so here we go. The Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as He rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book and of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, have you heard that before today? Yeah, Matthew 22. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Now, why do we bring that up? Well, look again in Romans 10. Look in Romans 10 with me, okay? Look in Romans 10. Look what verse 5 says. Moses writes about the righteousness that is by the law. Well, guess what Moses said here in Deuteronomy 30 and where it's also located? It's right here in Romans 10. The righteous, the live by faith says, do not, the righteous, this is verse 6, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? It says that right there. Okay, I keep reading again. Verse 7, who will descend into the deep? It says right there, or across the sea. But what does it say? The word is where? Near you. This is verse 8, it is in your mouth and in your heart. It says that right there. Now, how much time has lapsed between Deuteronomy and Romans? I don't know. It's almost 2,000 years. And so I look at that text, and I think, I wonder if people have really changed between Moses' time and Paul's time, and maybe between this time. And here's what I mean by that. Moses just laid down the law for the people of God. He says, hey, look, if you want God to prosper you, if you want God to encourage you, it's not a hard gig. You just got to obey God and His word. It's all you got to do. Moses was telling the people before they go in the promised land, you just got to obey God's word. That's all you got to do. He said, this is not beyond you. You don't have to go up to heaven and find it. You don't have to go down to the deep or across the sea to go get it. It's right near next to you. And it's almost like the people in Moses' time and the people in Paul's time, and I wonder if the people like today goes, I just don't know how to follow God. I just don't know how to do it. He seems so confusing to me. And we make it very difficult. It doesn't have to be difficult. It's almost like people are saying, "It's if only God's word was near. If only God's word was just right next to me, then maybe I could figure it out." Well, listen to these lines about the nearness of God's word. It's going to be on your screen, okay? Let's read this together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's the Word? It's Jesus. It's Jesus, okay? There's a fascinating church right down the road here, Isadora. And whenever I attend there a couple times, they have a part of the service because everybody hold up their Bibles. Hold up your Bible. If you got your Bible today, hold it up. Hold it up for me. Okay, hold it up. Who do you have in your hands? Jesus. This is Jesus personified. This is Jesus. This is who this is. This is Jesus. The Bible verses that you place in your heart, who is that? That's Jesus. The Bible verses that come out of your mouth, who is that? That is Jesus. So how near is the Word? The Word's near. I mean, you can't get, it's right next to you. You do not need to look anywhere else to find the Word of God other than right here. The Bible, that's what you need. You've got to do that. And the person who lives by faith recognizes the nearness of God's Word. God's Word is near. And I know how to follow Him. I don't have to understand Him, but I know how to follow Him because of what's in this book. So prayer is this. Think about this. Prayer is a perfect way to express God's desire back to Him. Here's what you're going to pray. You may have heard it once already. Here it is. Ask God to give you a heart's desire that's like His. Ask God to give you a heart's desire that's like His. God, I want my heart like Yours. That's what it sounds like. God, I want my heart like Yours. Number two is this. Ask God to give you a desire to pray for people to experience the nearness of God's Word. Pray for them to experience that. I'm going to explain more about that in just a little bit. The third thing is this. Ask God to reveal to you a person to be prayerful over. Hey, if that person's on your mind right now, write it down. If you're thinking of that person and you don't have a pen today, start praying right now. Just a short little prayer. God, help them experience the nearness of Your Word. Third thing today is this. I must desire and pray people will confess Jesus is Lord. I must desire and pray that people will confess Jesus is Lord. I had a little class time this week, and the rounds brought the big game, you know, with the guitar and all that stuff, and I just brought some little bitty songs that really meant to me as a kid. So the kids got both spectrums, and we had a great time with both those spectrums, and it was just a great opportunity to experience God and His presence. And so I asked the kids this week, I was up here, and I had the kids in the front row here. I make them sit in the front row back there, just so you know. I make them sit in the front row. And I said, Where do people experience a love for Jesus? Where do they experience that? What do you think they said? 90% of the kids said in the heart. So look at this, okay? Who is this one of the songs we sang, okay? Got it, Paige? Number 13. Say it with me. I had the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I had the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And so the kids were quick to pick up on that people experience the love of God where? In your heart. And so when you and I choose to connect with people, what we're trying to help them understand is that in order to confess Jesus Lord, they've got to experience the love of Jesus where? In their heart. Look at Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9, okay? Look what the Bible says there. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You must pray. You must pray that people will believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised Jesus from the dead. There's plenty of people believe in Jesus, but do they believe that God raised him from the dead? Do they believe in the resurrection? Romans 10:10, look what the verse says there. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You must pray this, folks. You must pray that people will know that when they believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, they are justified just as if they've never sin. This week we would come here to Bible school up front and we'd talk about the songs, little songs we did up here, and then we'd go over to my front yard. Kids, you hear me? Kids with me? We'd go meet at the what? Meet at the rug. We'd go meet at the rug, and I put a front rug on the front yard, and we'd sit down and have story time. And Deb asked a great question this week. She goes, Mr. Blaine, she goes, can you explain to kids what it means to have a debt to pay? What are you talking about? Well, I knew what she's talking about, but do you? Look at this song here, okay? You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. We blast right through songs sometimes and we forget what's in them. This is the whole gospel message right here. Look, folks, when you sing songs, understand the lyrics and where they're coming from. Jesus came from where? Heaven to earth. He became one of us on the earth, okay? And from the earth to what? He hung between earth and heaven on a cross. That's what he did, okay? My debt to pay. So when I asked the kids, I said, have you kids ever done wrong? And they're like, yeah, we've done wrong. They knew it. They've done wrong before. And I said, well, how do you get rid of the wrongs in your life? Well, I didn't really know. How do you get rid of your wrongs in your life? And I said, well, God calls a wrong a sin. And when you sin against God, you're in debt to him. And the only way that my debt can be paid is through who? Because Jesus had to go from where? The cross to the grave. And when God proved that Jesus was the Son of God by resurrecting from the grave, right? And the grave to where? Where is Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. That's what he's doing when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing, okay? And so when you and I think about Jesus and worship Jesus, we think these things. We lift his name on high because he's the only one that took our debt and did what? He paid for it. That's what he did. He paid for it. And so let me ask you this. How many unchurched, think about this, how many unchurched adults know how to get rid of their debt to God? How many unchurched adults? I don't know, but one's too many. One's too many. And so, church, how does a person get rid of their wrongs before meeting God? Believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, immersed in his name, and what happens to your debts? They're gone. They're washed away. They're washed away. Look at Romans 10, 11 through 13. Romans 10, 11 through 13. Look what the Bible says here. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. Look, friends, you must pray this. You must. You must pray that people know that when they believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, they will not be put to shame or disappointed on Judgment Day. I was standing right here, and I just looked at the kids and says, do you want to live with God at your death? That was hard for them to encapsulate. Hard for them to think of. And you might say, well, isn't that a lot to talk to kids about death? I don't know, is it? Think about other things that are being talked about to kids that we don't like to or approve of. Our children can comprehend things when it comes to bringing out the truth. And so I ask the question again, do you want to live with Jesus at your death? How about you, church? Do you want to live with Jesus at your death? I do too. And so as I look at the concept of what Paul is saying, look in Romans 10, verses 14 to 17. Romans 10, 14 to 17. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? This is Jesus. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard about? This is Jesus the one. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? There's a biblical precedence. There's preachers needed. Yeah. And so in verse 15, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about who? Christ. You get what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. You must pray that people hear the message of the word of Christ to have faith that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. You must pray that. You must pray that they hear the message. Well, how do they do that? How can a person get exposed to the word of Christ? How can that be? How can that be? Well, there's a great song. Ready? Maybe we'll just go right through it, okay? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. Okay, keep going, Paige. Next line. Nope, there's more. 16, verse 16. Is there more after 16? Screen 16. 17. There we go. Thank you. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. The scripture says the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. You guys remember doing that? Yeah. How about you adults? Are you that excited about your Bible? Are you that excited about your Bible? Because as I contemplate the reality of my kids, here's what I understand. How many people need a Bible in their house? How many families need a Bible in their home? What's it going to take for you and I to walk out of this church every Sunday, grab a Bible off that back table and start handing them out? What's it going to take? Because you give an offering every Sunday, here's what's going to happen. You give an offering every Sunday, and I have ordered over 30 Bibles this week because here's what's going to happen. Because the offerings you give, we're going to allow the opportunity for every kid in VBS to get a Bible. We're going to go to their house and drop off a Bible. That's what we're going to do. So guess what? You've already given one Bible away. You've got one on the mark already. I've got more Bibles on the gum coming to us. So grab a Bible at the back table. If there's nine in the back table, call me up. If you need some more Bibles, I'll get you about. We've got to start putting Bibles in people's hands. We've got to do that. Because if people don't have Bibles, it says here in this verse, they can't have what? They can't have God. Well, they can't have faith. Faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. You've got to have a Bible in that person's life. Now, verse 15. Some of you think you need a pedicure. Some of you think you need a pedicure. I saw a guy this week, a picture of him and his wife, and it was their anniversary. They went and got a pedicure together. I'm not going to do that. That would take a weed eater and a chainsaw to get through all that. Look, your feet aren't made pretty by you. Your feet are pretty by what you do. Look what it says again, verse 15, okay? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Your pedicure shines brightest when you have a Bible in your hands and you're sharing the gospel. That's when your feet are pretty. It's when you're sharing the good news. And so prayer. Prayer is a perfect way. Prayer is a perfect way to express God's desire back to Him. It's absolutely perfect. So look at these three things we're going to wrap up our time here together with. Okay. Number one is this. Ask God to give you a heart's desire like His heart. Ask Him. God, I got to have a heart like yours. You're my dad. You saved me through Jesus, my brother Jesus. God, I've got to have a heart like yours. Please help me have a heart like yours. Second thing is this. Ask God to give you a desire to pray for people to experience the nearness of God's word to confess Jesus as Lord. Guess who part of that is? Prayer is one, and you're the second part of that. You can hand out Bibles to people. Flat out ask Him. Hey, do you have a Bible in the house? Well, I do, but it's too small a print. Well, I've got a large print one for you right here. Give him a Bible. Give a child a Bible. Third thing is this. Ask God to reveal a person to be prayerful over. Ask God to do that. Maybe someone's on your heart right now. Write that person's name down right now. Or maybe they're in your brain right now. You forgot your pen. Just go ahead and start praying right now. So I'm going to reflect back on one final thing. These are the Bibles that we're going to get most of the kids. And I like to be good stewards of the church money here, so I went to eBay and Amazon, all the cheapest ones I could find. And they're not full price because they're the cheapest way to go. So I'm good steward. We're going to have great Bibles to hand out. I handed this Bible out all week. I read out this Bible all week to kids. Again, kids in the room, we met where? We meet at the rug. That's what we did. And here's what I want to encourage you. How many of you in this room have a child near you in your week? How many? How many of you in this room have a child near you in the week? Okay. You know what you can do? You can get a Bible, and you can meet someplace like the rug. Kitchen table, car, wherever you're going, you can meet somewhere, and you can take this little book with you, and you can actually start reading God's Word in their life. You can do that. Can you do that to adults too? Why not? You can do that to adults too. Start getting God's word out there. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. And how many people need to hear the word of Christ? Everybody. Let's stand together. I want to pray with you. And we'll let the rounds wrap up our last song with us together. So enjoyed their presence this week and how they've encouraged us through song. So, all right, God, we love you and give you praise for being so kind to us. Lord, today, like any other day, we always ask the same thing. If there's someone here that wants to talk about Jesus after church, let's talk. Let's not dilly-dally, because if today's the day, like any day, that when we hear God's word, today's the day to respond. We love you, Lord. Please encourage. Convict us to pick up a Bible and give it to somebody. We love you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Right, we're going to get set up here again. We're going to finish our worship time today with a song that we started every VBS night with, and you're going to see why here in a second, why we saved this to the end.
Oh, boy.
I want you to get the mic. All right, so we'll let Alex give him a chance here to get this set up. But this song, so, you know, when we accept Jesus and we totally give our lives over to Jesus, sometimes it's going to look a little strange to others. And they may call us names. They may call us weird. They may call us freaks, right? But I guess we have to decide whose opinion matters most. Is it God's or is it other people? And so if we truly love Jesus, then we want to make sure that his opinion. So anyway, all right, we're gonna see if we can do this here. Oh.
dust of clean from the past that comes back in my jackets to drink. Been apprehended by a spiritual force and your grace that replaced all of me I divorced.
This man in the desert with knives in his head, the one that he walked was also his bed, the words that he spoke made the people assume there wasn't too much left in the upper room. With hair on his back and hair on his face, they thought he was strange by the look of the gate. You see, the Pharisees tripped when they heard him speak until the king took the head of this Jesus free.
What will people think when they hear that I'm Jesus freak? What will people do when they find out it's true? I don't really care if they label me a Jesus freak. There ain't no disguising the truth. What will people think when they hear that I'm Jesus freak? What will people do when they find out it's true? I don't really care if they label me a Jesus freak. There ain't no disguising the truth.
I want to remind you this week that on Wednesday night we're having some activities for our missionaries coming from Haiti, Josh and Caleb Bunsey. We're having an ice cream social that night, so we'll provide the ice cream, you bring the dessert stuff, and then what else am I remembering, forgetting? What's that again? Here at church. It's not at the Runyon, it's here at church this week. And I'll put a text out about that too. So that's here at the church this week, okay? Wedding reception Saturday at, am I going to that or? Okay. Wedding reception today at 1. So Derek. Pray for over that family, and then your sister, Martha Ann, she had stroke yesterday, Friday, and she's in the hospital today, too, so be praying for her. So lots of stuff to be prayerful over. Kim, how's your dad? Okay. Okay. Who's that? Okay. Lots of stuff to be prayerful about. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. On a final note, I should mention, too, that Derek's desire is to work with kids on Wednesday nights, and so we're going to start having stuff for kids elementary age on Wednesday nights. This Wednesday is no exception, so if you want to start encouraging grandchildren, whoever children you have in your life, to come to church on Wednesday nights, Derek's going to have a lesson and some games and things like that for them to do. So anyway, God's good. Thanks for coming. Good to see you.